coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
The pandemic is merely the cover story. Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, HagmanReport.com. And there you can find all of our information, our video, audio. Drill down. Click on the episode. It's on the left-hand side. Drill down, and you can listen to this program. You can watch it. You can spin it backwards and get my words backwards. That happened one time. Some mope did that one time. And apparently I was saying, you know, something like Hail Satan or something. I don't know. But nonetheless, HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman. So I appreciate you going there, bookmarking that. And also, please, subscribe to us on Rumble as well as Brighteon. Speaking of Brighteon, Mike Adams did a fantastic piece. We are on parallel investigative paths, Mike Adams, myself. Doctors who are, that he's in contact with, doctors I'm in contact with, plural in terms of doctors. And, I want to say this. I want to thank, one particular doctor. I'm not going to name him, but, he's really put his neck out on the line to give me some information. I was going to invite him on the show, and I was talking with Steve, Quayle, and, we might, but, you know, it's just right now, it is a target-rich environment for the globalists out there, because this biological war against humanity has just taken a rapid and decisive shift from, well, you know, hey, this is just just masks, just vaccines, which are not vaccines. And every time, folks, I'm going to give this disclaimer one time. What you're seeing, what is being labeled as the COVID-19 vaccine, not that whole phrase, there's everything wrong with that. So when I say vaccine, I don't mean a vaccine. It is a genetically modifying tool. It is a biological weapon. What they're claiming to be a vaccine is the weapon against humanity. So what has, again, Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, great piece today saying that, you know, this has just shifted from please come take these friendly vaccine phase to a global nuke from orbit stance that plans to force mass extermination injections on the entire human race. Now you may say, well, that's just a little bit overstated, or that's just a little hype, you know, hyped up. No, it's not. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no coming back from this. And you can leave that up on the screen for just a minute. There is no coming back from this, because there are several pieces of evidence that I will just kind of give to you. Right now, you've got open borders, and I'll get to that in a moment. You've got a stolen election that's still unresolved. You have a coup that happened on the 3rd of November, 2020, not on January 6th. Again, I say this every show because it's important to say every show. You've got the mainstream media that acts as a fifth column for the globals here in the West, including the United States. You've got all of these events taking place, and the story is bigger than you. I was told once, think bigger. We need to think bigger than what we're thinking, because this is all about the end. This is the, this is the end scenario here. The globalists are all in. It's kind of like one of those poker games. I don't know if they're still on TV. You used to watch them, you know, on TV. When the player, you know, I'm all in. The globalists right now are going all in. This is the hand in that poker, tournament, shall we say, where some people are going to get knocked out of the poker game. Okay. And again, this is not about a disease. This is not about a pandemic. This is about control, takeover, depopulation. This is about a great reset that's been talking about. You know, people, we have to understand, when people like Klaus Schwab, Clinton's, Obama's, and all of the globalists out there, when they say something, take them at their word. It's something like this. When somebody says, you know what, I'm going to come over and I'm going to shoot you, it would be good to take them at their word. All right. At least until proved otherwise, or proven otherwise, but I like proved. It's grammatically correct. And again, from Mike Adams, you don't have to put it up there, but naturalnews.com, the irrational desperation of governors and national leaders to force spike protein bioweapon injections into the masses is a sure sign that this has never been about public health. Rather, it has been always been about compliance with experimental, deadly injections that contain gene alteration nanotech alongside toxic particles that are well known to induce antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, in victims. Now, okay, that sentence right there, that's a lot of information in that sentence. All right, so here's why I believe that there's no coming back from where we are at right now. You can bet right now, and Posobiec, Jack Posobiec, again, I met him, had dinner with him and his wife in Washington, D.C., former naval intelligence, spent some time with him, got to know him. I do know that his sources are, like, spot on. He sent a little cryptic message, okay, on social media, which he's still on. You gotta wonder why, but then that's a different subject for a different time. The, prepare for lockdowns, you know, B lockdowns, okay? Lockdown B. And some suspect it's, you know, Biden lockdown or whatever, but, his sources are telling him right now that Biden White House, they're preparing this very solemn 9/11 style delivery address to the nation because of the Delta variant, because of the unwashed masses, the unwashed, unvaccinated. We must all be locked down. Lockdown part two, right? That's what this is. And this is coming. It's coming. And it has to come. I'm in a very fortunate position. I'm able to speak with physicians, multiple physicians, different physicians, giving me information. I'm trying to connect them all together, okay? Because you got a lot of physicians. Excuse me. Again, my mouth is still not quite right. It never was, I know. But you have multiple physicians doing multiple things. It would be great if they would really form this formidable force and to inform the American public together with a unified voice. But you know what? I've been doing this long enough to understand that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Too many egos, too many different agendas, too many. So it's not going to happen. Let's just go with what we got. So I'm trying to put all this information together. All right. Spoke with a physician last night again who, a couple of them, but one in particular who said, you know, none of the numbers you're seeing are correct. All right, period. Just get that in your mind. None of the numbers are correct, whether it's the number of cases, the number of deaths, the number of those who received. And again, every time I say the word vaccination, understand I'm talking about the genetically modifying mRNA toxic injection jab. That's the only time, last time I'm going to make that disclaimer. Okay. But in the world of statistics, if you have, and you can look this up, it's, he mentioned to me the proper term. It's a cohort analysis, if you will. Then, in his sphere, where he's looking at the number of vaccinated, unvaccinated, the number of sick, the number of people in the hospital for different reasons, there is an increase in healthy people who have not and I'm emphasizing this, not received the vaccine, that are being admitted to the hospital for the very things that the vaccinated people are being admitted for, such as blood clots, pulmonary thrombosis, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary blood clots. There's a significant number. So we have to take a look at that, and we have to ask ourselves, okay. And this was a discussion. It was kind of a mental. The conversation was an exercise in both the medical practice and the investigation field. Why is this happening? Why, for example, is a 35-year-old healthy male that is, never smoked, never drank, taken supplements, drinking like all sorts of, health stuff. All of a sudden, he's got a blood clot in his lung. What's that about? Okay, things happen, right? But when you take that and multiply very similar situations by two, multiply by two, four, six, and all of a sudden you see this statistical improbability of coincidence. Now, coincidences do happen. And by that, I mean, outside of the sphere of conspiracy, they do happen. You run into the neighbor at the store, what a coincidence, okay? All right, so you get what I'm saying there. But right now we're seeing signs, and I'm going to prove this to you, but you got to stick with me this hour. The entire hour, I know it's tough, but you got to stick with me this entire hour because I'm going to show you how all of this fits together. Again, the pandemic is the cover story. This pointed out by Mike Adams too, and this entered into the discussions last night, and it's so relevant to today. 50 years ago this month, August 15th, 1971, Richard M. Nixon, along with Kissinger, that globalist in the globalist cabinet of surrounding Nixon, took the U.S. dollar off of the gold standard. Now that's not an entirely 100% correct statement, but took us off, disconnected the dollar from gold. I mean, that's sufficient enough. That's accurate enough. There's some technical aspects that say, yeah, well, not, but that's essentially in practicality what happened. So 50 years ago, half a century ago. Okay. Right now, Richard Proctor talked about this. Some people say, well, why do you have Richard Proctor on? Well, now, and some people say, thanks for having me. But here's the thing. The money supply, rate of inflation, the fact that you've got the Fed pumping gazillions on, you can't even count the money that's going into our economy. The system has got to crash. Now, there's a thing called plausible deniability. You heard that during Watergate, for example. Let's blame it on the pandemic. Again, the pandemic is just the cover story. What's going on beneath that is really the issue. So you've got the economy, the weather wars as well, the drought that's taking place. And again, Mike Adams spoke about this in a recent podcast. For example, you're going to have beef prices this fall, winter. They're going to take a dip. Why? Because the ranchers who have the heads of cattle have to slaughter them because they can't feed them because of the drought, because of the weather wars. So you're going to have this I don't want to say glut, but this somewhat relief of beef prices this fall, winter. However, next spring, next summer, be prepared, because if you can get beef, for example, and this is just one of many things that's involved in the economy, involved in the food supply and all that.
Got beef?
Yeah. Or where's the beef? That old lady, what's her name? It's not going to happen. Okay. Or pick your animal of choice because of the pigs, that kind of thing. So, be prepared for, you have to look a couple of steps ahead at the things that we're seeing. So how does this all relate to what I'm talking about? And as, again, Mike Adams said this, the irrational desperation of governors and national leaders to force spike protein bioweapons injections into the masses is a sure sign that this has never been about public health. Rather, it's always been about compliance with experimental deadly injections that contain gene alteration nanotech alongside toxic particles well known to induce antibody-dependent enhancement in victims. So, again, I went back to that. I repeated that. That's the second time I said that. What does that even mean? Hold that thought. All right, let me go to the first thing here. And you can tell things are ramping up. You can tell lockdowns are being considered at the highest levels of this Biden communist regime, this coup that's taken over. And this had to happen. See, the election fraud had to happen. This is all connected. The election fraud had to happen because the globals had this planned out from day one. I'm going to defend President Trump here. Look, I don't know what his rationale is about, you know, the jabs. I don't know. I don't pretend to know. I just don't know. But the one thing we do know is that not one of the globalists wanted Trump in office. Now, as an investigator, I've got to say, okay, why is that? There must be something that he would not go along with, or he wouldn't be a party to, regardless of whatever the red flag gun laws. I get that. I can't explain that. I don't know. But one thing I do know, that President Trump, they wanted him out bad, twice impeached, plus more. Okay. Twice impeached plus more. So they had to fix the election. They had to fix the election. And frankly, I'm getting to the point where I'm looking at this. I'm thinking, I don't think they really cared whether it was evident or not. The noise, the white noise now by the media, by the fifth column, by the globalists is so great about the unwashed, unvaccinated, about the pandemic. Oh, how deadly the Delta variant is. And so on. It's all white noise. All right. Now let's talk. This is intense. Let me just keep on track here. We're going to go to clip one. You want to talk about the transparency of the agenda. This is a doctor, and I say that with contempt in my thoughts, Lena Wen, CNN's medical analyst. Okay? Seriously, why don't we get the Ho Chi Minh out there, right? But same thing, right? But here's what she's saying right now to the American people. And remember, your relatives are watching this. Your employers, fellow employees, they're watching this. And they're soaking it in. It's like, okay, this is gospel. So understand the programming is in full effect. You may say, well, I don't watch CNN. And if you're stupid, if you do. I get that. It's not, and see, this is a conversation again I had yesterday. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we think. We know what we think. But there are a lot of people walking around that are just, you know, zombified. I looked one in the eyes yesterday. Sorry, Eric. Eric, the tech over there saying, I'm with me.
Got beef.
Like my smile. I can start. I'm starting now to be able to smile. Okay. Let's go to this clip one. CNN medical examiner or medical examiner. Gonna need one of them too. Medical analyst Dr. Lena Wen says it's time for vaccine mandates. Watch this rubbish. Go ahead.
Is it too late at this point to get to herd immunity? And what will that even look like, I guess, now?
It's going to be much harder, frankly, with the Delta variant, and that's because the Delta variant is so much more contagious. If you have a more contagious virus, you're also going to need a higher threshold of people who are vaccinated or who have immunity in some way in order to reach herd immunity. I don't think it's too late. I do think that it's time, though, for vaccine mandates. We have seen that the other methods that we're using, including with incentives, with education and outreach, yes, they are convincing some people, but there is a huge middle group if you will. That's not yet moved, but we know based on polling that if there are requirements, that these individuals will get vaccinated. And I think it's time for us to do that in the interest of the public's health.
All right, stick with me. I've got compilations of compilations, okay? I've gone through, seriously, the hundred, maybe more than 100 of different videos, different podcasts, different broadcasts, different segments, different, and I've strung some things together. Again, stay with me. It's all going to make sense at the end, but yes.
Herd immunity?
Herd immunity.
Ah.
Elephant, right? No.
Couldn't we have obtained that without the vaccine?
Interesting you asked that. You'll have to wait to, I think, clip 3 or 4.
Oh, I'm jumping ahead.
You are jumping ahead. See? He's smart. All right. But we are witnessing herd immunity. Every time I see that, every time I hear that, I think, you know, look, I'm not a sheep. I'm not a...
Got beef.
Got beef. You know, you're going to be saying that next... I'm telling you, next year, you got beef. All right. But we're witnessing a global extermination event that's unfolding under the false label of a public health crisis and a public health initiative. Problem, reaction, solution. Let's get the guy out of there at all costs. We were headlong into, you're going to own nothing. You're going to like it. And, that's where we're headed, this global reset. And along with the media, the journo-terrorism media, as Mike Adams describes it, along with the big tech, big pharma, controlling every kind, and the military-industrial congressional pharmaceutical complex, they control every conversation, narrative, and the corrupt criminal science journals and the institutions such as the CDC, the WHO, the various universities. Oh, this is now we are way far again past that point of no return, I believe. And they're conspiring and actually lying to the very same public. They are deliberately working to slaughter with the bioweapons that they themselves have designed. You understand this, right? All right. Next, clip 2, 36 seconds. Okay, so you heard Wen on CNN, right? Okay, that Chinese medical analyst. And the reason I say Chinese, the reason I point that out, this is the Communist Chinese Party virus. This is a PLA virus. This is coming from this is a tool of the communists. But don't forget, communism is not the end. Communism is the mechanism to get to this globalist overreach and this slaughter, because communism slaughters people. It results in the mass extermination of people. So what better tool to use than communism to get to where you want to go, which is, hey, we want this mass extinction event and basically kill all the plebs off, right? Kill them off. And Right Wing Watch, you too, Kyle, you too. See, Right Wing Watch and places like that, they believe, okay, well, we're going to inherit the earth. We're going to be part of this. We're special, right? And I'm just using this in my opinion as an example. This is what I believe they believe. But I'm just saying this again. This is my opinion. This is America right now from where I speak. And I do, I'm allowed to have my opinion, but you know what, Kyle from Right Wing Watch, I know that, you sometimes, monitor this show. And, I'll tell you what, you're going to find out that, boy, you've made a mistake. In my opinion, you've made a mistake.
Hey, Kyle, nobody reads your articles.
That's right. I do get them sent to me once in a while saying, hey, look at this. It's like, okay, whatever,
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I'd have a cup of coffee with him. I make him drink my brand of coffee, but okay. Anyway, you want to call him and invite him over? All right. So listen. Okay. So let's just see what Cuomo, the fascist, tyrannical, communist loving, dictator of the state of New York has to say in this 36 second clip. Go ahead. Clip 2, I think.
Private businesses, bars, restaurants, go to a vaccine-only admission. I believe it's in your best business interest. You know, if I go to a bar and I want to have a drink and I want to talk to the person next to me, I want to know that that person is vaccinated. If I go to a restaurant and I'm sitting at a table and the table right next to me, I want to know that they're vaccinated. I believe it's in your business interest to run a vaccine-only establishment.
All right. Okay, now, let me take just a side trip here with Cuomo. Did you know, now this just...
There's many side trips you could take.
Yeah. Oh, man, my head hurts. So Andrew Cuomo, as it turns out, he did sexually harass his staff. This according to the New York Attorney General, the findings thereof. The governor, the tyrannical leftist communist loving, chrome sucking, did I just say that? Never mind. Attorney General finds that the governor is guilty of unwanted groping. Sexualized comments, unwanted and unsolicited hugging, and just as a cherry on top, fostering a toxic workplace for young women. Just saying, that's the guy you're listening to. That's the guy upon whose robes that's the guy. Yeah, shut it down. But then, not to be outdone, and this
I want to know.
Yeah, you
that
go
if
ahead.
I'm eating in a restaurant.
Yeah,
that there's only 16-year-old girls in there, and they're all vaccinated.
Kind of a woke Hooters, right? You know, I seriously, I love Hooters chicken wings. I really, back in the late 80s, early 90s, they had some really big, good breaded chicken wings. Guys, you remember that? I mean, you know, anyway, great chicken wings. I love chicken wings. All right. So, but not to be outdone, this communist New York City, Warren Wilhelm, that's his real name. Just so you guys know, and I know that every listeners, viewers of this show, you know, that de Blasio was actually born Warren Wilhelm Jr., you know, honeymooned in Cuba, all right, when you couldn't go to Cuba, and, you know. But nonetheless, he declares, he's saying, look, he's declared proof of vaccination for indoor dining, entertainment, fitness places are necessary. He's saying, look, you're going to have to show us your papers. Boy, what a befitting comment for Warren Wilhelm Jr. out of New York City. All right, clip number three. Let's move quickly here because, again, I got to connect a lot of dots. The voluntary phase is over. From my notes, I'm not sure who to thank for this clip, but let's play clip three. What's that? InfoWars. Okay, that's the other one. Okay, InfoWars. The voluntary phase is over. Thank you, InfoWarsMan.video. Go ahead.
This is being called a pandemic among the unvaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
A pandemic of the unvaccinated.
This is an epidemic that's occurring in the unvaccinated.
We're seeing a pandemic among the unvaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Pandemic of the unvaccinated.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
We have a pandemic among the non-vaccinated. We have a pandemic because of the unvaccinated.
Oh, we could. You think this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated? Is that what they're trying to tell us? Go ahead. Continue. I'm going to keep my commentary.
Shaming is the truth. Maybe they should be shamed by the unvaccinated.
We've got to shun folks. We've got to shun people into getting vaccinated.
We need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated.
The unvaccinated people have put us in the position that we're in now, and it is not a good place.
The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated, and they're killing people.
Just 36% of the people in this county are vaccinated. Every seat is full. No social distancing or masks.
It's stupid. Dangerous and stupid.
You got to start telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come to work. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this gym. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this, get onto this airplane.
If you don't choose to get vaccinated, you may not come to work. You may not have access to a situation where you're going to put my grandchildren in jeopardy, where you might kill them.
We're going to do a major vaccination drive for kids 12 years old and up.
Grandparents, call your grandkids, tell them they are vaccinated.
Put them on a bus and bring them to a mass vaccination site.
It has nothing to do with freedom. It has nothing to do with liberty. You don't have the freedom and the liberty to put other people in jeopardy.
You really need to get vaccinated.
I'm not asking what's in the infusion. I'm not looking up all of the ingredients in the infusion. I am sticking out my arm, and I am taking the infusion.
Like a good sheep.
Take the vaccine.
Put some rules in place that will demand that people get vaccinated.
We tried voluntary. The voluntary phase is over. It's time for mandates, because it's the only way to protect our people.
Every day, more businesses are implementing their own vaccine mandates. The Justice Department has made it clear that it is legal to require COVID-19 vaccines.
And then I think a lot of people are going to expect that businesses will be mandating vaccines.
It's time for us to reinstate some of these masking mandates, while in the meantime, ideally aiming for proof of vaccination so that we can really boost our vaccination numbers.
It's time to impose some requirements based on the realities of different risks unvaccinated individuals pose versus those who have been vaccinated.
You have to have certain rules in a society if we all are going to continue to live and keep each other alive. You cannot be that selfish and, quite frankly, that ignorant.
You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business.
Wait, can I stop you? No right not to be vaccinated? Meaning if they decide you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated?
To be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm.
All right, thank you. You can cut that off there. So, do you think hearing that, seeing that, listening to those people, and again, you know, you're talking about newscasters, you're talking about, or, you know, the media, the fifth column, you're talking about politicians at a local level, state level, federal level, all levels, all on the same page. This is no longer voluntary. Do you think they're kidding? Do you think that they're just saying that just to say it, to scare you to take the jab? And don't ask. I'm not asking what's in it. No, no, no. You can see what is coming. You are a target. You haven't gotten the jab yet. We're going to come for you. And you know what? Where have we seen this before? I'm going to show you in a minute. But Eric the Tech during the during this said, "What did you say? All for a what did you say? What you said? Because I thought that was pretty important about the risk factors. I believe
on the kids.
Was it the did I catch you?
I think it was Cuomo or what? Talking about vaccinating kids.
Is that lettuce and is that, are you eating a taco? What are you eating? Never mind. All right. I'm hungry.
But the
too.
Risk is like of death is 2.5 out of 10 million.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. The numbers don't even, and that's the open source numbers, right? I mean, look.
Why are we pushing a minority idea?
There you go. What he
More
said.
People are not vaccinated. So if you are sitting at home thinking that you're being singled out and stuff like that, well, just know there's more people on your side than there are on that side.
And what have I always said? And Dave Dobmeyer, Coach Dave Dobmeyer, okay, pass the salt. We outnumber them. We can win purely on the numbers. But we can't win if we're not willing to risk it all. Are you willing to risk it all and say, no, this is a line that you cannot cross. Are you willing to risk your house, your job, your car, your way of life to say, no, I'm all in. I'm ready. I am ready. Because here is the next, here's phase two in America that's happening in Australia. Let's go to clip four. Australian government begins military patrols to keep citizens in lockdown until next year. And thank you, Karen in Rome, for giving updates on what's taking place there in where you're at, in, as well as Europe and other places in the world. And thank you all for you know what you send in, because this is so critical to understand that this is coming to this country. You don't think it can happen here? Well, it can happen if we allow it. If we allow it. Go ahead and play clip four. Watch this.
Army patrols hit the streets of Sydney on Monday to help enforce coronavirus curbs as Australia struggles to stop the Delta variant from spreading. Around 300 unarmed military personnel have been tasked with going door to door, checking that people who have tested positive are isolating at home. They're also accompanying police officers on the hunt for rule breakers, combing neighborhoods that have emerged as hotspots as the country's largest city enters its sixth week of lockdown. The state of New South Wales, home to Sydney, reported 207 new cases in the past 24 hours. That follows a 16-month high recorded late last week. Meanwhile, a lockdown in Australia's third biggest city, Brisbane, has been extended. Due to end on Tuesday, it will now stay in place until the end of Sunday. Throughout the global health crisis, Australia has managed to keep its cases relatively low. But its vaccination drive has lagged many other developed countries. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has come under fire for his handling of the pandemic. He's promised that lockdowns will ease once the country vaccinates 70% of eligible citizens, which should happen, he said, by the end of the year. Only around 20% have been inoculated so far.
Please take heed. And say, and you, because I can hear the some of the people on our side saying, well, that can't happen, bossy comatas. We're not going to have troops on our streets. Well, you know what? None of this can happen. None of this should happen, right? But it's happening in Australia. And you hear Cuomo and you hear Warren Wilhelm de Blasio out there saying, well, we need to do this. And okay, now. We're going to start this next clip five, start at 3:45. This is Alex Jones, and he made a good point. He also brought in a lot of the information, the same information of the prior clips, but this is a good one. Go ahead and play clip five. Okay, I'm going to give you one, or I got to give Eric the Tech a second to get the things running here, but this video is about the head of the Baylor Medical School confirms COVID-19 vaccine is deadly. Again, remember, vaccine, not really vaccine. Hey, but you know what? I want to just interject this while he's getting ready. What we were going to do, could have done, you know, folks, that I have the privilege and honor, and I'm honored, and I believe it's a privilege to be able to work with Russ Vizdar and stuff, and we're putting together some things that's just going to knock your socks off. And, you know, we're actually doing things in the field. One of the things, I'll just show you this real quick. We could have played this. We've got evidence. Training tools. And because people think all the satanic stuff is really irrelevant. It's a small, very, very, very small percentage of things taking place. Let me show you this. This, of course, is, something that, you know what this is? I don't know if you can see this. And folks listening to this on the radio, believe it or not, this came, this was from this is younger kids. This is what's known as an LP, a vinyl record. Okay. And this is what we used to go in the stores and younger, and we used to buy these. All right. This is an LP. And if you can't see that, what this says on the front, And I could have spun this, you know. The Manson Family Sings, the songs of Charles Manson, previously unreleased stereo material recorded in 1970. So I could have been a DJ for this hour and spun this. And on the back, the materials contained herein are not presented to provide you with cheap, vicarious thrills. Oh, no, no, no. The Beyond Manson, the media circus, the creepy, crawly mega monster that remains the man and his family. Glad to know, of course, Charlie Manson, not with us anymore for these end times. Isn't that interesting turn of phrase? They have a message, be it good or evil, or perhaps beyond this, who really is in prison and who is free. Folks, the amount of stuff out there that you just wouldn't believe, the amount of satanic, man. I'm not really crying, but I want to. What would you say, Eric the Tech? You ready? All right, here's clip five. Let's play clip five. Thank you, Alex. Let's go to Alex.
Right. In placebo versus who took the vaccine. And so they published that, and it got banned off Twitter. Just like YouTube just banned Sky TV Australia, because they reported the same thing. Because they're trying to suppress you while they kill you, so you go out and take it so they can hurt you. It's not just informed consent being violated, it's the opposite. They're suppressing you finding out what's going on. The definition of forced consent, Don Lemon, oh, you can't have food. Oh, you can't have water. In fact, let's play that first. Don Lemon, this is the talking point everywhere. Saying, you can be able to have food. You shouldn't be able to have a job. You should be in a concentration camp, basically. You should starve to death if you don't take this experimental shot. The definition of violating the Nuremberg Code, coerced medical experimentation. Here it is.
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to agree with this, but don't get the vaccine. You can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine. You don't show it. Can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine. Can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine. Can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now.
Okay.
Because
thank you, Don
we
Lemon.
Continue to waste.
Anybody that follows him is a lemonhead, in my view. Let's go ahead and go to Dr. Hotz, Dean of Baylor Science and Medicine, one of the most respected medical schools in the United States, testifying to Congress. I know this happened, about the dangers of these type of vaccines. Here it is.
One of the things that we're not hearing a lot about is the unique potential safety problem of coronavirus vaccines. When we started developing coronavirus vaccines and our colleagues, we noticed in laboratory animals that they started to show some of the same immune pathology that resembled what had happened 50 years earlier. So we said, oh my God, this is going to be problematic. We don't entirely understand the basis of it, but we recognize that it's a real problem for certain respiratory virus vaccines. This was first found in the early 1960s with the respiratory syncytial virus vaccines. Some of those kids who got the vaccine actually did worse, and I believe there were two deaths in the consequence of that study. Because what happens with certain types of respiratory virus vaccines, you get immunized, and then when you get actually exposed to the virus, you get this kind of paradoxical immune enhancement phenomenon. And we don't entirely understand the basis of it, but we recognize that it's a real problem for certain respiratory virus vaccines. That killed the RSV program for decades. Now the Gates Foundation is taking it up again. But when we started developing coronavirus vaccines and our colleagues, we noticed in laboratory animals that they started to show some of the same immune pathology that resembled what had happened 50 years earlier. So we said, oh my God, this is going to be problematic.
By the way, that's one of the top tropical disease experts in the world, and this is counted as a tropical disease. He helped run the program, I looked it up, with the University of Texas and Fauci on the rat studies 2012 and said, do not do this in humans, it'll kill them.
Right. Now,
so there he was in March of last year.
Because we're going to continue.
So that's a year and a half.
Okay. Now, you heard him say the about the immune enhancement, right? The antibody dependent enhancement in victims. Didn't I say that? Didn't Mike Adams, did I quote Mike Adams in saying that? I sure did. Okay. So this is what we're talking about. We're witnessing this global extermination event. Go back to what I said earlier about the physician who said, look, there are people that are perfectly healthy hanging around people who had the vaccine, and all of a sudden they're coming down with blood clots. How is that even possible? What is going on? Oh, and by the way, let's go back to the Pfizer executive who said, hang on, let me make sure I've got my notes, properly, organized here. Hang on a second. It's not there. Okay. Call the DA there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, that's not it either. Okay. Let's see here. All right. So, the Pfizer individual who was with Stu, Peters, who said essentially you want a newspaper? I'll give you a newspaper to look at. All right, but just combine it with what the Pfizer executive said on StuPeters.tv about the graphene oxide. And I'm trying to remember here exactly what she said, but how this is being put into people, for what purpose? Really kind of two purposes. And again, this kind of joins with what the physician and I were talking about yesterday was, okay, so you get injected with this stuff. Graphene oxide, it contains graphene oxide. It could, because, by the way, mRNA cannot really survive outside of its natural environment. And the other part of this too, okay, when we speak about Delta variants and variants of the virus, think about this. This is so important. If you don't remember anything else from this, think about this. In nature, and I would argue in this case, when you have variants of a virus, the natural part of that is for the variant to be less effective and less lethal, but more contagious. Okay, so because the virus is looking to find hosts, if you will, although it's not alive, looking to find hosts.
Doesn't it do that multiple times?
Yes, it evolves.
So why? Yes. Is this one such a big deal?
It's because they're making it a big deal, and that's what everyone is. That's what you need to focus on.
Well, like, there's hundreds, correct?
Yes, I mean, which I think, didn't he say something about the blood virus? Maybe I didn't get to that one yet. At any rate, yes. But so every iteration of the every variant should be less lethal, perhaps more contagious, but less lethal, because the virus does not want to kill the host because it wants to replicate. But with every iteration, it becomes less lethal. But wait, that's science. But we're being told to follow the other science, the other way. You know what I mean?
So I shouldn't say we, the vaccinated should have been vaccinated hundreds of times already.
Oh, that's coming, because did we play this? Not, I have to look if we played this.
I'm
or
jumping
not.
Ahead again.
Yeah, you are jumping ahead. Well, if you continue with this, because it might even be in this clip, if you can continue with that where you left off. I don't know if I messed you up.
Almost specifically telling Congress, don't do this. It never worked. See how that works? Let's go to Dr. Robert Malone. Last week, again, the inventor of mRNA, saying the same thing.
This is the great fear that all vaccinologists have. This is the one thing that scares us all the most. And it cropped up in the 1960s with the development of the pediatric vaccine for respiratory syncytial virus. Vaccines are known can cause enhanced disease. Some vaccines make disease worse. The classic example of this phenomena of antibody-dependent enhancement, in which the antibodies actually make it possible for the virus to infect cells that it wouldn't otherwise infect, The classic example is dengue. When we get dengue the first time, there's four different strains of dengue. They're enough different that if you get the second strain that's different, it'll cause dengue hemorrhagic fever. That's what kills you. This phenomena was also seen with the dengue vaccine and caused the death of many children.
So let's let this sink in real slow here. You just heard two top scientists in the world telling you that in every case they've had to abandon these programs because it kills the animals and kills the people. Until Bill Gates resuscitated it a few years ago and launched it on us because he knew it was a great weapon. Oh, we got this failed program that kills everybody. Oh, Bill Gates got it. Oh, Bill Gates is the one that wants to kill us. It's out in the open. It's all open and shut. Can you believe this? Are you going to roll your sleeve up like human sacrifice and give this to your kids? Because now they've announced, I'll tell you about when we come back. They're coming after the kids now.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Okay. So, yes, the jab, the vaccine will amplify the situation through this antibody ADE. Okay. Let me get my notes here again. So what I say and what did Mike Adams say? The antibody dependent enhancement, but don't forget, allowed to go on its own, the replication is less deadly, less lethal, less symptoms. But you know, the contagious factor increases, but the lethality decreases. And we're already talking about a kind of a lower lethality rate. And don't forget, this is a bioweapon that certainly was, in my view, was created to cause chaos, which it's doing, it was created to be exploited for the shutdowns, because this is not about the pandemic, the scandemic, the pandemic is a cover story for the coming global collapse, the financial reset, and it's going to be blamed on this variant and variants. But specifically, it's going to be blamed on the people who did not take the jab the first time. And you saw this in Australia, like you just saw, okay? But now let's kind of back up a little bit. Beep, 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 back the truck up a little bit, okay? Come on, follow me. This next clip. Well, okay, so wait a minute. Why? Well, let's go back in time a little bit and let's look at the fact that Donald Trump was really, hey, mean tweets bad, right? But, you know, ice cream slobbering Biden, who hands some child a used face mask and holds his hand for no reason and says, you know, I just wiped my butt or whatever he said. You know, that's good. That's statesmanship, right? So what happened back last year? So a post-mortem on what happened, because people are saying, well, there was no election fraud. Of course there was. Well, you can't prove it. Of course we can. Well, how do you prove it? Well, how about taking a military analyst, military intelligence analyst, and having him to kind of take a look at things? You don't like Mike Lindell? I do, but you don't? Okay, fine. You don't like, it doesn't matter. Let's play this next clip. This compliments of War Room Steve Bannon. Map shows areas of potential election fraud in every state. This is perhaps one of the most important clips in terms. You can show this to anyone, and I think everyone would understand. And by the way, my county is rampant with fraud. And I can go directly to the people I believe are responsible for it and say, you should be in jail or you should be on trial right now. But let's play this clip.
I want to bring in Captain K now, Seth Keschel. We teed it up with Mike Lindell. Captain, your Army intelligence, you've been drilling down on the math here. I want to put up this map of America with the broken down the way you've got it. Dave Clements and the great group over there at America, the Telegram site, right, at the audit site over there, America First Audits, America First Channel, America First Audits Chat, all of it. I think it's 200,000 people now, American citizens in this, full forensic audit in 50 states. What, Captain K, what does this map tell us? Walk us through it.
So this is the very first discipline of an intelligence operation. Of course, military intelligence, you have open source information. It's often neglected, but that's actually what the enemy knows the most of you about. Then, of course, you have human intelligence, signals intelligence, imagery intelligence. But this is basically the guy walking along the beach with the metal detector, and he's getting in the area of where there's something buried. And then somebody else is doing the digging. So one of the things that real analysts look at in political science is trends. So trends are in effect until something causes them to reverse. So if the Republican Party went away from this new working class trend, you would see a shift back towards Democrats in the working class states. But I'm looking with registration data, population growth or decline, and a few other factors. It's really helpful when I have registration by party, very predictive in places like Pennsylvania, Florida, and North Carolina. This is a 50-state overview, county by county, over 3,000 counties and independent cities in the United States. We don't need these audit teams jumping on the middle of Iowa thinking that just because there's a lot of people that live here, we need to go for an audit. Miami is a good example. I have Miami-Dade trended clean. I'm not sure that 600,000 Democrat votes are all going to be clean, but based on the registration data, the party shift, it's not really the best thing that's going to sell to the layperson that doesn't realize you need audits in a lot of these places. So the red counties, these are places where there's very obvious disturbance of registration trends, especially when we have it by party, and an estimate of how many excess votes are in there. This is very, I mean, this is the same stuff I used to predict Florida by 300,000 plus to Trump. I was one of few that said that Trump would have it by over 300,000. The same kind of stuff that led me to get all 50 of these right in 2016. So over the first pass, nationally, we can identify the states that are the worst. We can also identify the states that a lot of people aren't talking about. New Jersey is one that I think was very close in a clean election. And that also corresponds with working class Republican incumbent strength that we had way back in the 80s when the Republicans still could work with the working classes. So in summary, this is about 8 million heavy Biden votes nationwide just on the first pass. It doesn't account for vote flips that are cyber. It doesn't account for a few other things. So this is just a first glance of where we're looking county by county, where all the trends and all the growth patterns are disturbed, thrown off, which is how we also got to where the bellwethers, indicators, and predictors for over 120 years are disturbed as well.
All right. So what he's saying is, look, you don't have to even go deep into the weeds. Just a initial assessment based on his experience, military, army intelligence and such. Look at this map. Well, the map does show the areas of key concern, and those areas of key concern, basically what he was saying, it doesn't take a million people to be in on this big, huge conspiracy. All it takes is a few key areas, and you got it locked in. This was the coup that took place on November 3rd. And the response on January 6th of this year, which was a disturbance of the Capitol, now is being used to demonize anyone who talks like this and says, wait a minute, a coup occurred. And you know, and don't forget Nancy Pelosi's 1/6 commission is filled with everyone on that commission voted to impeach President Trump. So you've got the globalists against you and I. And the reason I think this is so important, and oh, the pushback, if we can show the image, because I know we're running short on time. If we can show the image there, the audit in Arizona, people are saying, you know, fraud it and stuff like that. Well, now it's on. Okay. You talk about the point of no return. Now, folks, it is on. I'm telling you right now, take a look at this letter. This is from the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors. What is it? 4-1 or 5-1 Republican. Okay, it doesn't matter. RDs doesn't matter. They're globalists. They're Chinese Communist Party agents. They are Soros puppets, whatever you want to call them. But they're saying on August 2nd, yesterday, hey, dear senators, stick it in your eyeball, right? Listen to this. It is now August of 2021. Well, at least they can tell the month. The election of November 2020 is over. No, it's not. You want it to be. You want it to be because you don't want to be found out. It's like, hey, that happened. That murder happened 2 years ago. It's time to move on. So the listen to this. If you haven't figured out that the election in Maricopa County was free, fair, and accurate yet, I'm not sure you ever will. How friggin' dare you, Jack Sellers, chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors? Okay. How do you see where this is headed? There is no turning back. Now, I've got a clip about the Maricopa County audit and such. But, folks, it'll be in the program description box at HagerReport.com. We're out of time to do that. I'm telling you right now, it is on. There is no turning back. focus on what's coming. Lockdowns because of the unvaxxed. Door to door. Hey, we're gonna give you the vax because you're a public health risk. You're not gonna be able to go to the store, you know, until that time. No store, no this, no that. We're gonna lock everything down. You're a health risk because of these variants, which all of this is bull. None of it's true. Well, I mean, to the extent that they provide it, right? So folks, what I'm telling you is this. You think it's warm where you're at this summer? It ain't even begun to get warm, but it's going to ramp up. So stock up, prepare. Look, I don't care. I don't, just do me a favor. Get your house in order. Get your spiritual house in order. Pray every day because things are going in the direction where we will not be able to recover from and not in the way they want. In other words, you know, you tell me I'm going to own nothing and be happy. Hey, Klaus, come here. I got to tell you something. Okay. The next sound you hear or the next bright light you see. No, that's not a threat. No. But, the letter is conservatorytreehouse.com and they even say, hey, look, there's no fraud. There wasn't an injection of ballots from Asia. And I like this too. Nor was there a satellite that beamed votes into our election equipment. First of all, how childish, how condescending, and what a putz Jack Sellers is. And the entire gutless, spineless board of supervisors of Maricopa County. Before we bring Stan in, let's play clip six. And you know, if everyone was so doggone concerned about the Delta variant and all of this, we've opened the doors to third world. They're coming in. Look, I get it. Migrants, immigrants, you come the right way. You come through the front door, not the back door. You don't turn your country the excuse my language, the shithole you left, you're not bringing it here to my house, to my country. And that's exactly what's happening. Let's play this last clip. We'll get Stan on and we'll rock and roll. Here it is.
Media bias is not just about what is being covered, but also what is not being covered. And what's happening at the southern border with not just the illegal border crossings, but also, the number of coronavirus cases isn't really being covered in the mainstream media. It's being covered in conservative outlets like Fox News and your show, but there
is scratch Fox News.
No coverage really from the mainstream media over the, as of a couple of weeks ago, 900% increase in coronavirus cases among migrants crossing the southern border. And so...
All right. You get the idea. The link will be in the program description box. You get the idea, right? So they don't give two, you know, wits about this virus. Again, the pandemic is a cover story. If they cared, they would stop it. Instead, they flung open the doors and said, come on in! All right. Do me a favor if you.
But there's a pandemic among the unvaxxed.
That's right. It's not. Yeah, that's right. Duh. Right. From KTEL Records, it is. Never mind. All right.
I bet just Stan would like to see that. He hasn't seen that.
Well, okay, before we get to Stan, I just want to say this. Folks, your feedback is really urged. Leave a comment at Rumble or Brighteon, or in fact, send an email to studio at HagmanReport.com. Let me know if you like the content of the first hour. And that's going to allow me to kind of plan out the summer's shows. All right. Stan Dale from StanDale.com. Him and Holly do just tremendous work keeping the public informed. If you go to StanDale.com, you can see Holly's work on the front page with the hot headlines, the photo of the day, the laugh of the day, you know, everything is there. It's a good landing page for you. That's standeo.com, D-E-Y-O. And also don't forget, folks, if you haven't done so already, you're going to need, and I got a feeling you're going to be needing an EMP shield if you ain't got one already. And let's see, Father's Day is over. Let's see, 4th of July is over, Father's Day. I don't know, birthday. You know what? You don't need a reason, or you don't need you don't need a holiday. Go to empshield.com. Use code Hagman. That's right, Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N, empshield.com, code Hagman. And get yourself an EMP shield, all right, because you're going to want to be able to be up as quickly as possible after a Carrington event, one of those pesky EMPs, or, you know, your neighbor just setting off a plutonium bomb in the garage or something. Who knows? But don't laugh. By the way, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, they frown upon having plutonium storage in your shed. Stan, how are you, brother?
You know, plutonium can be used for time travel. I mean, remember Back to the Future. He had to rob terrorists to get it, but he did have some plutonium.
Well, I gotta get a DeLorean though, don't I? Don't we have to get a DeLorean?
Well, that's true. That's true. They are rare. Hence time travel is kind of limited, but, yeah.
Oh, if it were for the want of a DeLorean, for the want of a DeLorean. Okay. Go ahead.
No, well, look, I think about neighbors and stuff. There was a friend of mine, he's now passed on out in Australia, named Pro Hart. He's a very famous artist down there. And he was into testing rockets, you know, probably 6-7 foot tall, but still rockets. And he did launch one of them one time. He told me that when a ride didn't go on course, it went over to his neighbor's living room, which, you know, wasn't good. But that's your choice of neighbors. At least when I was testing Tesla coils or little rockets, I made it so that it basically didn't hurt anything. The Tesla coil did mess up the neighbor's TV a lot. But other than that, I was a pretty good neighbor. So there you go. Okay. No plutonium, though. No plutonium.
Sorry. Just normal. Snorted. Yeah, you know, living next to you would be, that'd be like, it'd be a party every day. I'm sure it would be. So, yeah, you and Holly. I just, especially in your younger day. Well, you know what? You're still young, but that would have been just a riot.
I probably told this story once or twice, but when I was younger, probably about 35 or so down in Australia, I had a house I was renting by myself at the time. And the next door neighbor was, pretty close. I mean, it was about 6 foot walk from my garage to their property next to their house there. But one night I was testing a new kind of capacitor for my Tesla coil, and it was actually an old TV tube, you know, the screen for the old type, black and white TVs. And I made it a capacitor. And so I was testing that and trying to adjust it to the coil I'd built. And it was way out of tune, and there were little inch long arcs jumping all up and down my Tesla coil, secondary coil. So, what's going on here? I messed and tried to figure it out, messed around. And so finally I shut it down and thought I'll go back to the drawing board tomorrow and went to bed. Next morning I went out to get the paper and stuff. And my next door neighbor came up and she says, hey, how you going? I said, well, fine. She says, did you notice anything wrong with your TV last night? And I said, no, why? And she said, we were sitting watching our favorite show there in the living room, and all of a sudden the picture just rolled like that and it disappeared. And then we heard this arcing, sparking sound in the oven in the kitchen. We ran in there and there were arcs jumping inside the oven. And so I said, I said, by the way, are you insured? And she said, oh yeah. I said, okay, well, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I don't know. Oh my
gosh. Yeah, well, I didn't. I was actually producing it, so I didn't see it. But yeah,
that's just a riot.
And you know, it taught me a lesson though about Tesla's type of power transmission. I mean, brilliant guy, and using wireless transmission of power, you could power the whole planet with this stuff by broadcasting, at certain frequencies, and you just had to have a little coil and something to receive it. But the problem with that was, and would be if we did it today, is that when you broadcast a frequency like that out into the ether there around everywhere, things like, you know, toilets can pick up that signal and make arcs jump around. You know, odd places. But anyway, and lightning shout out. Yeah. And so anyway. So there were some drawbacks to the technological development of wireless power. Now, okay. Back to serious stuff.
Okay.
There's a lot of that on the internet today. And as you said, people can go to standeo.com and see today's news that Holly's been putting up this morning, earlier today. And she has it divided into some very interesting areas. Like, for instance, one of them is, you know, like, earth changes and how many wildfires are burning across the United States at once. There's at least 91 major wildfires. And you might think, oh, well, it's a wildfire, big deal. But when it occurs, it denudes the ground, which, you know, you're left with ash and mud when the rains come. And so this is causing mudslides and things like that. I mean, our interstate I-70 here in Colorado is closed. There's a 46-mile stretch that's filled with, rocks and mud and stuff from washout of these previously burned areas. But these 91 wildfires, I mean, that's just the United States. They're happening all over the world. This is a very hot summer, and it's part of the climate change, I believe, from the sun and its activity and from the weakening of our magnetic field here on Earth. This is allowing more ultraviolet to creep through. And ultraviolet, you know, in itself can cause a number of things on the planet. But one of them, of course, is hitting the vegetation, killing vegetation, which increases fire hazard as well. And it hurts your skin when it hits you. It's very, where the ozone layer is very thin due to the weak magnetic field, you feel the effects. You can get ill from it. And, of course, cancer as well. But anyway, on our show images page, if you go to, let's see, to slide 38, Eric, another country experiencing the fire problem is Israel, believe it or not. You'd think it's mostly desert, but there are trees. They've been planting, you know, tens of thousands of trees over the last 20 years to regrow the land, you know, and to have the tree coverage. But between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, a fire broke out there. And you think, well, okay, big deal, a fire in Israel. They can't plant trees to replace what has been burned there for at least a year. Well, the rest of this year on their calendar. Because it's a sabbatical year, and that's called a Shemitah year, I think. I'm just looking here to see. Okay, yeah, Shemitah year. And you can't plant trees in Israel during Shemitah years. So next year they can recover. But it just shows you that all over the planet there are results of this super hot situation on the planet, mainly due to the weakening of our magnetic field and the information or frequencies coming from the sun in the ultraviolet and the infrared, which are causing us to dry out and have super storms. I think it's going to get a lot worse across the planet as the intense heat is absorbed by the environment here. So anyway, I forgot, guys. I didn't take my phone and hide it here.
That's all right. The phone was ringing here a little bit ago, so don't worry.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Holly is just going to flush him. Put them away, sorry. Good afternoon, Dale Enterprises. Yep, okay. Enough of that. It was in my coffee this evening here. It's been a good year.
Mine too, brother. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Well, let me show you this, if you don't mind. Okay. Russ Dizdar and I've had the privilege to work with Russ Dizdar, and we're working on some projects to bring awareness to people. Okay. And, about the satanic element, about things that are really going on. And the satanic element has a lot to do, well, everything to do with what's taking place today. But having said that, one of the, it's not evidence. It's just something that, In showing people that this stuff is real, right from KTEL Records. I don't know. I guess too many people are not old enough to know that, but this is, folks, this is an LP, and, Stan, I don't know if you can read it or not.
The Manson family sings the songs of something.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Manson family greatest hits, right? And the songs of Charles Manson, previously unreleased stereo material recorded in 1970. And it's got some pretty nasty graphics on it. And, but anyway, folks, this stuff is real. Okay. So anyway, no, I'm not going to put this on eBay, Eric. No, of course not. But this stuff's real. But you never saw that, did you?
No.
Yeah, neither did I. And again, Rust is our Shatter of the Darkness support. Shatter of the Darkness. All right. So,
gee, now that I've seen it, I can't erase the image from my eyes.
I'm telling you, man, it's But see, I mean, this darkness that really is being infused right now. I just don't think we're going to come back from. Until God and until Jesus comes back. But go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just thought I'd show you that.
Yep. All right. Slide on our show images page, the slide 55, it says Israel, United States, and United Kingdom are considering retaliation against Iran for a ship strike. Now, a TV channel there, I think it was Channel 12 anyway, in Jerusalem, did provide evidence of the Iranian drone that attacked the ship and killed a couple of people there. It's an oil tanker. So that the United States Department of Defense and the United Kingdom's Department of Defense or Ministry of Defense can get together and with Israel and retaliate to Iran. Now you think, okay, well, so what do you do for killing a couple of people and catching fire to an oil tanker? Whatever it is, it's another thing leading us to a confrontation in the Middle East where Israel and possibly the United States supporting Israel will attack Iran in some form or fashion. This is not good because it's driving us toward a nuclear confrontation with not only Iran, but Russia, who supplies them stuff, and China, who supplies them stuff under the table. It just accents the tension that is building in the Middle East, and we are going to be drawn into that one way or another. The weather, the heat over there inflames, tempers and stuff. We know that for a fact. It does it here. And we're seeing evidence of that here in our cities with, the riots and, gatherings that weren't peaceful across the country in the last couple of months. And people being attacked in the street in broad daylight, nothing happening. But people are angry, and the sun doesn't help that. So keep an eye out on the Middle East, as I say every week, because we are one of these days we're going to wake up, and the newspaper, if it's still functioning, will tell about the United States being drawn into this. And we'll have a civil war here anyway about that same time, and Russia and China will come eat our lunch, and possibly with Iran. Just keep an eye on that and get prepared, like you were saying. Get your EMP shield. Get your survival gear and stuff like that for your home. Water, medicine, food, power. Get it done now. Don't delay.
And you know what, folks? Make sure you have a Bible in your preps, or two or three. All right, because that's our instruction manual, I believe. Bible. Okay, Stan.
On that note, there in slide 48, talking about the Bible, we listened to J.D. Farag's sermons, and he gave a prophecy update on the 1st of August a couple of days ago. And the main thrust of it was, do not be afraid. Don't let fear control you. And it's a comforting video. You ought to watch it. There's slide 58. Click on it and have a look at that. Remembering that God is always aware of you and your situation, and nothing happens to you except by his will anyway. So pray for safety, pray for peace, pray for whatever you need, but know he's there, and don't be afraid. We are not going to be here during the worst part of this coming tribulation period. He's promised to take his people, the bride, up to be with him. So be encouraged. And although we're going to talk about terrible stuff here, on the show today, and probably every week we've got terrible news, but this is the thing to keep uppermost in your mind is, observe it and understand that you should be unafraid. You should be at peace, knowing that this is all part of God's plan. Anyway, that's slide 48. You can click on there and look at that video. Right. On some more. Sorry, go on. What were you going to say?
No, I just said all right.
Okay. On slide 52, you can click on the picture and see the various, let's see. Oh, gosh. when you click on that, you get some message from the sun. There we go. It says red zone inside China's devastating nuclear arsenal with hypersonic missiles, humpback submarines, and hidden desert silos. Now, you can read the article, but basically it's saying that they've got new missile silos going up that our satellite has observed, you know, the Defense Department satellites. And they've got missiles that'll go 6 or 7 times the speed of sound. I mean, if they use one of those in a naval situation, you know, with an American ship, you know, like an aircraft carrier in its fleet, they could destroy that thing before they even know it, our ship, before it even knows it's coming. At 7 times the speed of sound, you'd see a radar blip that says, oh, problem, bye, and you're done. And so this is of concern. The Russians have a similar type arsenal of hypersonic or faster than sound missiles. And a nuclear one like that, you know, it goes over to the middle of your fleet and your fleet's gone. It just wipes out the whole thing with a nuclear blast before you can blink an eye. And I don't know what they're doing with what they call the humpback subs. They're slightly different. They've got a raised area next to the conning tower there, which makes it look a little bit like a humpback whale. And I found another picture which shows a raised, looks like a small tube at the back of the submarines that goes up maybe two-thirds the height of the conning tower there, and it's hollow-looking. So I don't know whether that's an intake, whether it's a listening device, or whether it's you know, something that defends the craft or the submarine. But anyway, new technology is coming up everywhere in China and Russia. And if you scroll down that article, you can see, you know, the pictures of what we've got anyway of the supersonic missiles. And there's also a chart showing the nuclear stockpiles, who has what. Now, this is nuclear missiles, okay? Russia has 6,375 nuclear missiles that we know about. We have only 5,800 nuclear missiles, and we know about those. China has only 320, but they're nasty. And France has about 290. It goes on downhill. And, you know, Israel has 90 that they admit to, but I'm pretty sure it's over 300. So anyway, it's an interesting article to read. And once you've read that, and go back to our show images page and look at slide 56. This will make you feel nice, you know, warm and fuzzy. It says, it failed miserably after wargaming lost. Joint Chiefs are overhauling how the U.S. military will fight. And this is from the DefenseOne.com website. In a fake battle for Taiwan, U.S. forces lost network access almost immediately. And they've issued 4 directives to help change that. So in other words, if we were to go and fight China right now over Taiwan, we'd be done. And what amazes me is that they're making this public. I guess it doesn't give you a warm and fuzzy feeling, but something needs to be done. This administration has not prepared our, especially our Navy over there, to fight with the technology that we know about from China.
We might lose, but I'm sure we'd get a participation trophy. And don't forget the, you know, they're making the military woke. So, you know, we can accommodate the people who want to go the LGBTQRSP, whatever, route. So, but they're going to be fine. You know, they're going to be okay, but we, you know, we're going to be decimated because of, the Obama Scholz in the current Biden regime military. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Infuriating. I mean, when we had President Trump in the White House where he belonged, these things weren't going to happen. You know, our military was bolstered. It was funded. And there were changes being made, you know, behind the scenes to prepare for an EMP attack and nuclear attacks to the infrastructure of the United States. But now, Lord only knows what's being done under this usurpers that claim to be the leaders of our country. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, there's no fighting in the war room. Okay. sorry about that.
Of course not. You had to do it. I know. Yeah. I noticed a thing, slide 57, which was a bit troubling. You know, with COVID, you can also take things to bolster your immune system, you know, like mineral supplements and vitamins and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we do that. You know, we've shared that. My brother's a doctor, and he's recommended what we should take, and that agrees mostly with what the other people on the internet are saying that are familiar with how to prepare your immune system for COVID exposures. But in slide 57, they scare you with variants of COVID. So everybody says, well, I'm going to take my dietary supplements. Ah, and if you click on it, on the text there, it says Congress wants to make dietary supplements prescription only. Now, can you, I mean, vitamins. I mean, what are they going to do? Say you can't eat carrots and potatoes because they need to be prescribed? I mean.
Oh, yeah. I truly believe that this is, you know, I was talking with my neighbor today. So let me get this straight. Okay. Just so they outlaw opiates, but they push cannabis. They, you know, you get hurt bad. They say, here, take a bunch of Tylenol, which essentially cooks your liver. Now they're saying, well, yeah, Dick Durbin, an appropriate name. I'm not a happy camper today. Stan, I'm not. I'm just not a happy camper about this.
I understand.
Yeah. So this time, slipping his own hidden bill into the upcoming appropriations bill. Okay, that's a little, the weasel. Okay, that weasel. How dare them? We got to fight back. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, they do this. I mean, both parties have been guilty of it at times, but the Democrats are doing it really, really to hurt us. I mean, they hide things, these little riders, they slip into a bill, which on the surface seems like it's something else. And yeah, okay, we'll vote for that. And you look at the codicil or the little attachments down there, like you're talking about, that Durbin's put in there. And they're cooking our goose with these little small inserts like this. I even read, I think, in New York, they've authorized a COVID, I've been vaccinated passport for people to use in the restaurants when they have these shutdowns or, you know, the next phase or whatever. Can you imagine a passport saying you've got your COVID shot so you can go in and eat in the restaurant?
Or walk in to buy the food stuffs to make food at home. But this is where we're headed. And you know, Stan, I'm telling you, I fully believe, and as I said in the first hour, this pandemic is a cover story. It's all about control, and food is a part of it. The economy, you know, we can't survive on the economy can't survive with a money supply. You know, the infusion of money, the printing of money. Right now, since 1950 or since 1971, when Nixon and Kissinger and the globalists took us off the gold standard, our dollar has lost 98% of its purchasing power. 98%.
I didn't know it was that high.
Yes.
Amazing.
So we've got how little left. And now, given the velocity of money coming into the money supply, they know it's going to crash. So what better way to control the population by all of the stuff that we're seeing? So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you're right. I mean, we are going to see a global collapse of the economy, and certainly the U.S. driving the world economy, you know, is a big buyer, purchaser of everything out there. They've inflated the market so much now that we will see that collapse. And so it's not just our problem. It's a global problem. So your listeners that are in Europe and Australia and Canada, you know, it's coming to you too. So complain at your own level, at your own government about this. But, other than complaining, just get what foodstuffs you can and, don't rely on the money in the bank because it's deflating so quickly that it's going to take a lot more to buy what you need if you can find what you need. So, I mean, like, we've got our gardens out here. Holly and I work on that, and we've got, you know, fresh vegetables. And actually this year we've got some apples and plums that have survived. But say again? Oh, yeah. And pears. I forgot. Yes, our pear tree produced, and the wind didn't take all of that. But and of course, we've stockpiled, you know, what we need for medicines and, freeze-dried food and stuff like that. And we've been advising people to do that, you know, for 20 years or so, 22 years, I guess. And that's what people need to do. Don't depend on your money, your 401k or whatever. Get the stuff that you were going to buy with that now. Get the stuff. Because the stuff is going to be what is negotiable and you can trade with. People will want that when their money won't buy them the stuff because it's not on the shelf anymore. Excuse me. So it's time to assess what you need to deal with, you know, health-wise and otherwise, and stockpile as much as you can.
Yeah, I think, and you're 100% right, because right now you have, if you throw your money under the mattress or in a bank account, you're, there's going to be a point in time when that money is going to become essentially worthless. So you might as well prepare now, to preserve wealth. I believe in precious metals. Okay. Again, as a preservation of wealth, you don't look at it to me. It's not a get rich quick kind of thing. It's just a place to park your fiat dollars. But land is going to be worth stuff, in what land produces. So yeah, you're absolutely right, Stan. You're 100% right. So, and you've been right the whole, all these weeks and months and years.
And we're not saying go blow your whole bank account right now and all that.
Well,
I'm not smart about it. Like, invest in it.
Eric,
Eric, even the precious metals, in the Bible it says they will toss their gold and silver into the street as cankered or rotted of no value. I don't know when that occurs, but I do suggest that you stock certain precious metals like brass and lead.
Oh, I love that. If you can, they're becoming rare metals now. Okay.
Yes, I noticed that.
It's interesting. Brass and lead, about three times the cost that now as it was.
It is expensive.
Yeah. We were just looking at that. We buy it by the pallets now. Okay, so
that's the only way to do it. That's right. I mean, you go to the range, it hurts every time you shoot. It's like, oh.
And I got to tell you, it hurts.
My pocket's burning.
Your pocket, yep. Your arm was burning. We went to the range last week, early last week. He shot himself. Well, he got shot in the arm. Actually, he didn't really shoot. He got a piece of shrapnel from it was a hollow point that, I don't know, whatever, something happened.
Yeah, off a metal target.
Off a metal target.
Came back.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the done thing, as they'd say in Australia.
So just thought I'd let you know on that. So, I told him to rub dirt in it, and that was it. So,
yeah, tough guy.
There you go. Walk it off.
Yeah. Let's see, what slide is that in? Slide 48. This talks about global wheat supplies and how they are in short supply and getting shorter supply. Drought and flood are killing, crops, these wheat crops all across the planet. They're failing in not only the United States and Canada, but in Russia. I don't know what they're doing in China, but they've got a bigger number of mouths to feed than Russia or the United States. But this drive for food is going to force confrontation, to get resources that you need. And America is still looking like a breadbasket to most of the world. You can see how they're looking at us with hungry eyes and why the Chinese are buying, farm and ranch property here in the United States. I think that's a temporary measure. And in the end, they will invade and take what they want and then leave. Let's see here. Engineered attacks on supply chains continue from South Africa to Vietnam and in the East. Now, food prices are going up already. We've noticed that. And the true crisis of the global food shortages is going to come out in the press, and people will then start rushing to get not only toilet paper, but food. So I advise you, your listeners, don't be in that rush standing in line outside the food chains. I mean, I saw pictures and videos down in South Africa, which we talked about, I think, last week or the week before, where the line to get in with your shopping cart to get minimal amounts of food was like a mile and a half long. A mile and a half long with people standing there with their shopping carts to get in, get food there in South Africa. It's going to get worse. And that was probably political causes in addition to supply causes. But still, it was a good example of what we're going to see here. And if they start putting a mandate that like Walmart, they say to their employees, you got to wear the mask now and you got to get the shot. Okay. So the next thing is, as you and I know, they're going to say, well, if you've not been vaccinated, you're going to either have to wear an armband or, a mask labeled, I'm a fool, I didn't get the shot, before you can get into Walmart or the stores like that. They're going to single us out. And it'll be just like in Nazi Germany, where the Jewish population had to wear the little yellow patch on their clothing. So everybody knew they were one of those. And those are going to be us now. It's just a matter of time. Okay.
I'm coming for your prayers, Stan. I'm coming for your pears. Never mind.
Yeah, well, are you? Well, you better be quick. It's going to turn them into like jelly and stuff like that, you know, and preserves. Yeah. Actually, our crab tea apples are just now coming ripe. And I took a bite of the one that wasn't ripe, which was a surprise, but a bit tart. Anyway, going back to what's causing some of this crop shortage and things and other expensive damage, in slide 53, you see a link to articles talking about the floods in Europe. It's leaving so much debris behind. I think it was in Germany. Yeah, they had several hundred thousand tons of debris, you know, like parts of houses, cars. I mean, there are 40,000 to 50,000 vehicles that have been destroyed with this flooding, which is totally anomalous behavior, you know, for the weather over there. And, you know, where are they going to put all this? I show a picture there of a dump truck dumping some more junk on a pile they've got. But they've got a problem all through Europe, like similar to what we had with the Twin Towers when they collapsed or were attacked and collapsed. I mean, it took years to actually get all the debris out and to save places on barges and whatever else. And here we have the same thing hitting Europe. So we're not alone in having problems. And Europe is certainly, you know, going to be under a financial burden of this for, you know, several years at least. Again, contributing to possibly the shortages of food and the rise of the cost of things, you know, like the food and the other things that you need. Anyway, you can read that article, click on it and see. It's quite sad for them. And there's a video you can see on it as well.
Wow.
All right.
Man.
Okay. Added to our climate problems, we have, in slide 49, a look at Greenland's ice sheet. It covers a whole island, and it's having a major meltdown. Last week, it was dropping about 2 inches of water in a single day. In other words, it was raising the level of the sea there 2 inches. After all this melting is, it's a long-term thing, it's our enemy, because Greenland's ice sheet contains enough water that if it all melted, it would raise sea levels 23 feet. Now, 23 foot sea level rise is serious, especially for, you know, it's not just going inland a yard or two. It's going to go inland far enough to hit housing constructions and beach houses and all like that. Gone. And not only us, but, you know, all the other countries that have got coastlines. So Greenland melting like this is not good. You can read the article, you click on it and see the seriousness of it. But this is only one place that has, you know, ice covering and icebergs. So we've got the South Pole as well. And why is the North heating up so much? Is it just purely climate change, or is it heat welling up from the mantle of the Earth, which it does periodically? Don't know. But it is definitely doing what we've been predicting for a long time. It is raising, you know, the water level of the sea. And even NASA said in their figures that if all the ice melted on the planet and went into the sea, it would raise sea level over 200 feet. And that again becomes rather problematic deep into the coast of the continent.
The Navy maps, not so, you know, the Navy maps of the flooding, not so far out now, right? That Navy map,
I'm trying to remember. But showing the United States after the rise of sea level,
right?
Showing the Mississippi going up and the Great Lakes emptying into the Gulf of Mexico through that,
right?
And over, you know, even on the West Coast, if we lose the southwestern portion, say of California near the Mexican border, if that shelf collapses, and other things happen to our continent and that tilt like this, you're going to see water flows up into Arizona. And you know, you're going to see at the Hopi Reservation, you're going to see water going between the mesas. And that means a sea level rise of over 5,000 feet one way or another that gets the water to them. And that map, I don't know who did it. I forget what it was, but yeah, it's coming true.
Yeah.
Somebody back then was thinking. Yeah, there you go. That's the one. Thank you, Eric. Yeah. Put it back up.
Yeah. It's up there right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a big map. You can click on it, and it lets you see on the left of the west coast of the United States, if we had that 5,000-foot drop, what areas would be totally inundated, And on the right side of the map, I show the 200 and 500 foot rise in sea level, what counties would disappear, you know, coastal areas and up the Mississippi, what areas would be totally underwater. So that gives you the maximum damage, but yeah, there you see it.
Beachfront yeah. property in Idaho or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, East Texas, Louisiana are virtually gone. You know, it's wiped them out. I want to talk about, speaking of fire, let's go to slide 47 and to slide 40 and 47. In 40, we show a picture. If you click on the picture, the archaeologists have uncovered the gates to a temple to Zeus, you know, the Greek god, you know, little g god Zeus. And this is, you know, like pagan worship and stuff, but they're going to refurbish this so that people can actually walk into that and, you know, once again, you know, be at the worship site for Zeus. Strangely enough, virtually immediately after they discover this and announce what they're doing, forest fires ravaged Turkey, leaving 6 killed and many more wounded. You can see up on slide 47, if you click on that, you can see a big picture if you look at that, but also you can see the whole story on the entrance to Zeus's temple. And we know that that's like the seat of Satan there in Turkey. We keep an eye on Turkey because, you know, it's probably going to be the site of the new world government in Turkey, because it's right in between the east and west legs of the old Roman Empire, the two legs of the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, that Daniel translated, interpreted. And so it's going to sit right there in the middle of the east and west Roman Empire. So you have Europe and then you have the Middle Eastern sides of it. That's why Turkey is, you know, so important in what we're studying here. And to that end, you know, I've put up, let's see, a show images page, 13, I think it is, for sure. Okay, Antichrist. If you click on that, you'll see that the second choice I have for Antichrist of the coming age is the interior minister of Turkey, Süleyman Soylu. Now, I've told you about Mohammed bin Salman, Solomon being a derivative of the name King Solomon. And the interior minister's name is Süleyman Solomon. And in Turkey, they think that Soleimani, was one of their great leaders. And so they revere the name Solomon. And for that reason, you know, you've seen some reports in the news over the last 5 years where they wanted to let the Israelis build Solomon's temple up in the northern part of the Temple Mount, you know, so they could worship there, because it's Solomon's temple and they revere Solomon, strangely enough. Now, let's go back up to our show images page to slide 41. Let's go there, 41. Now, this says, for Erdogan, the Soylu problem, that's the one we've just been talking about. Soylu was one of the strongest candidates for the leadership of the AKP party for after Erdogan. Okay, now, they're saying here in this article that Süleyman can be a candidate for the leadership of the MHP party after Bahçeli, which, you know, everybody's trying to say that Erdogan's son will be in line for taking over the presidency, but if you scroll down further. But you'll see that Soylu is being favored by most of the strong political parties in opposition to Erdogan. He's another Solomon, so I'm watching him, because if he takes over Turkey, he could be the Antichrist, you know, that rules the new consortium of the East and West legs there from Turkey. So just keep an eye on this guy. And slide 42 tells about, you know, Süleyman, how he is rising to power and how they think he's going to be the next president. Now, this is an article from July last year, but we've progressed a lot further than that there with his rise to power. Going to be interesting to see what he does. He's a very powerful man, and he's standing up against Erdogan, which is a pretty tough guy, but Erdogan's weakening, and, you know, the polls there, he's really not favored by the people. So something's going to happen there, and I think this will be definitely involved in running the new world order out of Turkey. Just a guess, you know, educated guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to look at things like this. You know, we're looking at everything through a glass darkly. We certainly can't see everything. So, We have to take that into account, but we can certainly read, or we can see the events like this and how they're shaping up to, you know, create the environment for the end of days. So,
you know, I don't, as I said to you, I don't trust what Nostradamus writes. I look at it and see what his predictions are being interpreted as by the modern students of his work. But one of the things that I do remember is that the Antichrist of this age, according to Nostradamus, will wear a blue fez. Now, you know, Morocco and Turkey are known for wearing the fez, you know, that kind of stovepipe colored hat. Troops were wearing red ones, but Nostradamus predicts one wearing a blue fez will rule as an Antichrist. Now, I looked at the color blue in the Turkish, you know, legends and lore, and they have something, you know, the blue eye, the Turkish blue eye is like a curse. It's like the evil eye on you. And so if the Antichrist truly does come from Turkey and does wear a fez that is blue, it also in Egypt is like a reverence to a deity. So somewhere between deity and a curse on you, if he does wear a blue fez, then, you know, you could expect him to be the Antichrist of the age. Interesting, but, you know, again, Nostradamus not to cheer about.
Hmm. Eric wears a red fez, so I guess he's out of the, never mind. It's been a long week already.
So. Can I borrow your fez?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What kind of a look is that? Yeah. I saw something which, you know, normally is kind of ho-hum in science. In slide 50, it talks about a huge explosion, a collapse of a star that produced shockwaves and radiation all across, you know, the known galaxy and probably beyond. The amount of energy that single gamma ray burst from that collapsing sun produced is equal to all of the energy released by the entire Milky Way galaxy over the same time period multiplied by 14 million times. Now that is a huge burst out there. And if it occurred in our neighborhood a lot closer, it would be very painful. A life extinction event. And the universe is aging.
Wow. I'm trying to comprehend what you just said. I mean, it's just, okay. Wow.
14 million times the energy released by the Milky Way galaxy. And that's a lot of stars emitting energy already. Now, what concerns me is the universe is, you know, aging. It's running down. It's in entropy. And we're seeing out there, you know, like thousands of light years away and hundreds of light years away, we're seeing evidence of a star going supernova and, you know, releasing gamma bursts and stuff like that. And you realize, well, gosh, that occurred maybe 10,000 years ago. So we're seeing now, we're just catching up with stuff that was dying 10,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago. We're getting close to the point where locally we're going to see some of that stuff going off. And you don't want to have a supernova anywhere near us because it is, you know, it's going to extinct the population. Not that that's going to happen, you know, when Jesus is here. And so anyway, we're just seeing the aging of the universe is starting to pop and, you know, things are blowing up. And a lot of them have already blown up. We just haven't seen the light or the gamma radiation from it yet. Could be one of those interesting days when that happens. So anyway, that's a lot of energy.
I would say, wow.
Yeah. On space, slide 54, Pioneer 1 and Pioneer 2, if you click on the picture, or sorry, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, you can see where they are right now in that picture, Eric, if you get that up there. The blue area in the center, the blue circle, is the kind of the limit to our solar system. But the real limit, kind of flexi unit, is the heliosphere, which is in the lighter blue around that circle where Earth and all the planets are in the middle of that. And this is moving through space, and space has mass, in spite of what they tell you, and it's stretching out a trail behind our solar system. And Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 are now out of that, out so they can see the sun's envelope, the heliosphere, is dragging out behind us. And so you look at this, you say, okay, what is that stuff that is moving you know, that we're moving through that's causing that drag trail to come out behind our solar system. Is it dark energy, dark matter? Whatever it is fluid so that you can move through it, which means that you can actually go faster than the speed of light if you make a warp drive to curl space around you. Subject for another discussion, I guess. But anyway, you know, that blanket, that huge trail emitting out behind our solar system, that's going out probably 350 times the distance of Earth from the sun. It's called an astronomical unit. 350 times our distance out behind our solar system. So it's a significant drag through something. And that means with the fluid of space, we can achieve faster than light wave velocities with our spacecraft and things like that. It's coming.
Wow. All right. Voyager 1 was launched in 1977, just so people know that little piece of trivia there. So what happens when they – you said space has mass. I just want to see if I understand this. So what happens when they – what's the right word? Break into that area that you're looking at?
Hey, it's all around us. The mass of space, I treat it like a fluid of space, is what creates gravity or the illusion of gravity.
Okay.
And so understanding that, it goes back to what they call the aether space, A-E-T-H-E-R-E, aether space, you know, in the 19th century. And they were treating the space that we see as a fluid, whereas when Einstein came along, and, you know, he treated it as a 10-dimensional, you know, matrix algebra formula so that he could describe, you know, the bending of light waves and stuff without anything out there, treating space as a vacuum with nothing in it. But that's not the case. And if anyway, just if you just look with your eyes at pictures of galaxies and see the swirls, these swirls are interacting with something. And that's through a means that convects, you know, the energy to them or from them. It's obvious that these are galaxies are where this fluid is spinning like a vortex, like water going down the drain, except it's going down the drain upside down side as well. You know, the drain of Andromeda Galaxy, it goes all toward the center. And that's where you can see a black hole form. In most galaxies, they have a little black hole in the center of it, which the energy flows into, spiraling. Anyway, it's just another thing to tell you that space is a fluid and that fluid mechanics are the answer to understanding gravity. And it's not some magic action at a distance. Things are all connected in this very fine structure of space. It's a good thing to know. It helps people understand what is happening out there and where we're going with that. Well, if the world holds together that long.
Man.
Yeah.
It's, you know, folks, aren't you fascinated? Seriously, do you get this like on a normal? Do you get this on other podcasts? I mean, seriously, this is good stuff. This is Stanton Hall. I mean, this is good stuff. Okay. I'll shut up now. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Stan unchecked, I guess. I just kind of let my mouth run there. But anyway, yeah. These are things that interest us, and you know, I delve in these areas and design things and write stuff, you know, here on my computer for me. But yeah, it's what fascinates me is all this. And in fact, when I had my near death experience, went out of my body, I asked, you know, the Lord, I said, "How does all this work?" Looking at the universe and things, and that was probably the wrong thing to ask because it was a download of information. It took me several years to absorb once I got back in my body, but it's beautiful. I now understand how it works and what causes it and what supports it and what is going to end it, you know. So anyway, a beautiful thing. In slide 45, spaceweather.com, you can look at the article underneath the text. But if you click on the picture itself, this shows a beautiful picture of the aurora of the, you know, at the North Pole. It's a huge picture. So if you click on it, you can see the stars through it and everything. It's just beautiful. And, you know, there are things that cause it to happen. They're not very, common, but something, you know, kind of disturbs the Earth's magnetic field, and it's either solar wind or some other thing, causing this, like dust from meteorites entering up there. These things all contribute to this auroral effect up there. But, yeah, in the article, it gives you, a little bit more discussion on it, but it's just beautiful.
It's the majesty of God's creation, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, they call this, they said it got moonlight hitting the top of the aurora. The process is called resonant scattering high up in the zone of the aurora. Ionized nitrogen naturally produces blue light, just a little, but the geomagnetic glow is usually too faint to see. But when these ions get hit by moonlight, they capture and re-emit blue photons from the moon, believe it or not. So you got the blue on top of the normal kind of yellow and green auroral displays. They're beautiful stuff. You know, not everything is bad news. That's just beautiful. As you say, watching God's creation.
And you know what, folks, please take a moment to really soak in the majesty of God's creation. When you go out, if you go outside tonight, look at the stars if you can, smell a flower in the daytime, walk your puppy, walk your dog. So there's so much that God has given us and so much good. Sometimes we just get so focused on the ugly. When in fact there's so much beauty around us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Holly and I think about that too in the mornings here because we feed a lot of wild birds out the back and, you hear them cheeping and, singing and stuff. And it's just, a moment of peace, enjoying what God has created and letting us, enjoy at least here on our property in spite of all these other things.
Yeah. I I have a bird feeder and I can't get the birds to, come on,
we wake up and listen to the Japanese beetles fly around.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Stan, it's an invasion of the Japanese beetles. I think they're hijacked from the CCP. What's up with that? I mean, seriously, I've never seen so many Japanese beetles in my life. I mean, I don't know. And mosquitoes.
I've caught bags full. Bags.
Yeah.
Are these things that you're talking about, are they like kind of gray and kind of flattish things with little ridges on the edges of them?
No, those are stink bugs.
No. This is smaller than stink bug because a couple of years ago we had the Chinese squash bug, I forget what the technical name is, came and just overnight started decimating our squash crop. But
these are normal these are Japanese beetles, but we just have armies. I think are carrying weapons. I'm not sure, but
are you calling like a June bug a Japanese beetle?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, Eric's got a picture to show you. I think, right? Yeah. Okay. If we can find it.
All right.
I think Japanese beetle. Yeah, I think that's a proper name for them. But Eric said, I think they're also referred to as June bugs. But man,
yeah.
It's like a whole. There it is, right there. There.
No. No, no, I. No. That is a Japanese beetle. Then that's different than a June bug.
All right.
Colorful.
Well, it is August, so.
Yeah, I think they're probably related because a June bug does look a lot shape wise like that. It doesn't have those iridescent wings, but. Well, that would be annoying. So you get them up by the bucketfuls, eh?
Yes, and they like rose bushes, and I like roses, and so we're having a battle now. So. Anyway.
Yeah, well, this weather is so odd. It started getting odd in our springtime about 2 or 3 years back. But right now, we're seeing that we're in drought here in Colorado, and yet we've had rain. And why? It just doesn't make sense where the rain is going, and it's not following normal patterns.
Stan, speaking of that, okay, so... June was like windy as all get out. Okay. It was pleasant temperatures. July was rainy and windy. August, this morning when I came into my office, it was 54 degrees outside. Of course, that was at 5:15. I mean, but this is August 3rd. It shouldn't be 54. Should it be 54? I mean,
no.
So what's happening? I mean, it, obviously, folks, it's not climate change by human means, obviously, but anyway, it's just, wow, it's just
These are mechanisms from the sun and effects on our magnetic field of the planet, which you know, are controlled by God. These are not human caused changes in the climate. Granted, some minor temperature variations and dust storms and stuff like that are caused by improper use of the environment by us growing and producing stuff. But it might be like 6% of the change we observe. The majority of it historically has been from the sun. And in fact, if you look at slide 39, that's today's picture of the magnetic field of the sun and the active regions. And it's fairly calm. Are we about out?
You know, I wasn't, my apologies. I wasn't watching the program clock. Stan, we're out of time. Apologies.
Lord bless you. See you next week.
God bless you, my friend. All right. Folks, that'll do it. HagmanReport.com, Standale.com, EMPShield.com, Hagman as well, as the code for $50 off. All right. Folks, have a great night. Good night.